Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else. The afterworld. A world of never-ending happiness. You can always see the sun. Day or night. So when you call up that shrink in Beverly Hills, you know the one.
Doctor, everything will be alright.
Instead of asking how much of your time is left, ask him how much of your mind, baby. Cause in this life, things are much harder than in the afterworld. This life, you're on your own. And if the elevator tries to break you down, go crazy. Punch a higher floor.
Hey everybody, this is Diane from the land of the rainstorm, and I'm with...
Yeah, Todd,
who in Los Angeles. Who wishes he had a rainstorm.
Can rain? What the fuck is that?
And you're here for another, yet another long-delayed episode of This Conversation Rocks.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if I talk nice to you, if you want to do a second episode later this week.
Yes.
All right.
You don't even have to talk nice to me. You could say bad things.
And edit.
No, I can't edit, but, you know, everybody, it's all good.
All right, so this is episode 2016 something or other.
Okay, that's cheating.
Yeah, but I think I want to say it's like... I want to say it's like 19.
20s. Yeah, 19, 20, somewhere around there.
You know, shit. Hey, you know what? I'm the administrator on the website. Let me go look. But while we're figuring out what episode this is...
It's day one of the DNC! I know, I am about as excited as you are, but it is part of the reason we have gathered here tonight...
To get through this thing called life.
Amen. That's totally what I was thinking. I thought, man, that needs to be the lead-in tonight.
Oh my god, yeah, let's play some Prince and...
And end on some Freddie Mercury. It sounds good to me.
Sounds good, yeah. Hey, what do you know? WordPress has updated our stuff again. I'm okay, good.
Hey, and I'm thinking, what do you know? It sounds like a Trump rally. Start with Prince and end with... Queen, it's, you know, the home of the gender benders, man.
Absolutely. All right, so officially this is going to be episode 2016-17.
Well, we've got a little bit of catching up to do.
Yeah, but, you know, we're doing pretty good. Yeah. We're on track to get 26 episodes this year.
Woohoo!
Which will somehow equal out to one every other week, even though it's not even close.
And yeah. We've got more new fans. There were names on the website I didn't recognize again.
Yeah, so hey, thank you to everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody, because, man, it's encouraging that somebody actually thinks that we have something to say. Of course, maybe they're just like, yeah, we were there. Somebody said this was a Preacher podcast. What the hell?
I do want to say before we talk about Preacher that we got a lot of buzz about the repost that Nigeria has actually finally banned female genital mutilation. So,
fucking awesome.
Yeah, of course they did that because of us.
Yeah. I'm just going to go with about fucking time.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then we'll see.
And a few other nations need to fall in line, right?
Yeah, and then we'll see, how well it, you know, I mean, I'm hoping that in a generation it becomes a reality, you know.
I think there's potential. I don't know. I don't have that much faith in the human spirit, but I think there's potential. If Donald Trump doesn't blow us all up first.
Oh, well. Fuck that guy. man, because, you know, before we started, you were talking about, you know, some Facebook posts about Hillary the baby killer. And I got to tell you, one of my friends, acquaintances, I don't even know what do you call people you knew in high school
that you kind of want to sort of keep in touch with but you don't really know why the hell why
Yeah, because, you know, truthfully, I haven't talked to him in a long time. Anyway, some
yeah,
of their
no,
stuff
I get it. I don't know what to call those people. They're more than acquaintances. They're not friends.
Yeah, at some point they were.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, it's hilarious because, you know, some of this stuff fell into my news feed and I'm looking at it and I'm like, oh, motherfucker. You know, and I'm like, I'm gonna... No.
And so what I was saying to Todd was, I mean, this... So the post that this was made in response to, a friend of mine posted something like, hey, Bernie, great speech! And I said something to the effect of, I'm not saying this very well, but I really believe that if the Dems lose, it's because we rebuked and rejected a message like the message that Bernie gave us tonight.
Yeah.
And in response to that, some crazy woman started writing all this shit about Hillary being a baby killer and, I mean, all sorts of weird stuff. I think there was a reference to Benghazi.
And I just want to point out to that author that, I'm sorry, but you've got it wrong. She is not a baby killer. She is the spawn of Satan.
That's right. She is Lucifer, if you had paid attention.
Exactly, right? There's a test, and it's right now. Ben Carson says she's Lucifer.
Anyway, you know, I totally got into that place of, I at least need to write back and say, your comment is entirely out of line and is not in keeping with the tone of this conversation. And then I thought, no, not my Facebook page, not my Facebook page, not my fight, not my Facebook page. Because I'm trying really hard not to argue on other people's pages and just delete crap off of mine that's offensive to me.
Exactly, because the truth of the matter is, it's never going to get any better.
No.
And truthfully, we all could take this lesson just a little bit, and I mean everybody in the United States this week. People are pissing you off. I get it. Ignore them. They're going to go away. You know, one way or the other, this fucking election is going to come to an end. And, you know, we'll get past it. You know.
I got to tell you, Sarah Silverman had a surprising moment at the DNC tonight. I didn't watch the whole first night, but she and Al Franken were on to introduce Paul Simon, and there were a bunch of people kind of booing Hillary, yeah, Bernie, and she was like, you Bernie or bus people are just ridiculous. And she was one of the biggest Bernie supporters out there.
Yep.
So I thought it was very interesting. I don't know that I 100% agree, but well, no, I do 100% agree, because I can't be Bernie or bust. It's Bernie or it's Hillary or Armageddon, as far as I'm concerned, so I can't be Bernie or bust. I thought it was very interesting that she used a national stage to call those people out.
Well, I will say this. This is what I believe. It's either this idiot or somebody way worse.
Right. Because, I mean, let's be frank. I am not, by any stretch of the imagination, excited about voting for Hillary Clinton, but...
Honestly, I'm hoping for impeachment. somewhere down the line. I mean, it's no longer, you know, the jokes about, you know, a great big fucking meteor, or, you know...
They're not jokes anymore, man.
Vote for Cthulhu. It's a really shitty choice, and the Republican National Convention was a zoo.
Unfortunately,
the DNC is going to be worse.
I don't know. You know, it started out pretty rocky this afternoon. They pulled it together a little better tonight. What I did see, it's going to be an interesting week.
Yeah, and here's the thing: is it doesn't matter. Fucking matter.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the week, I mean, let me go ahead and call how this is going to end up. At the end of the week, Hillary Clinton will be the official nominee for the Democratic.
No. And,
you know, so
you totally
can we
burst
just
my bubble?
Can we just get there, please? In fact, I'm going to take down the sign, the Move On Superdelegate petition.
Right.
You know.
Well, you know, what I've decided is that
need to replace. Oh, hey, that's a contest we can do. What petition should we have on our website next?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so yeah. you got a cause with a petition, let us know.
Yeah,
feel free to post on our Facebook page, drop us a line at thisconversationrocks@gmail.com.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, all right, and or, you know, feel free to put something actually on our website.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's our contest, right? Is that submit your cause and the petition, and we will find a way to get it on there.
Because, you know, I am still dying to send a copy of Good Omens to someone. And at this point, ooh, I'd throw in one of the dogs just to be on the safe side.
Okay, so we're going to give away... hey, so, holy shit, we're, like, actually doing this. We're giving away a copy of Good Omens to somebody who sends us a cause and a petition that can get up on our website.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it could be anything, you know, as long as it's something we would give money to.
I was going to say, I hate to be a twat bag about the whole thing, but... Trump voters need not apply.
Well, honestly, right? If you somehow came up with a cause that we don't support, I'm not sure why you'd be listening to our show. But on the off chance that there is, you know, you've been listening to our show, you know who we are. We're probably not going to do that. So before you think about doing it, realize we're probably not going to do it.
So I was thinking about it, and, you know, our lead-in should be... I kind of feel like we're living in an episode of Whose Line Is It Anyway? So, you know, where all of the money's made up and the votes don't matter.
I tell you. So, an interesting article tonight from the Washington Post.
Oh, I wonder if we hit on the same one.
About the Russians may have altered... some of this information that got leaked, that got sent to WikiLeaks before it went up.
Well, so let's just go ahead and talk about WikiLeaks. Let me try that again. WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks. let's talk about it. Let's go ahead and open up with that, because I do think that potentially is going to be a black cloud on the DNC this week.
I'm going to start off with, duh. Of course they did this. Of course they said this.
Right.
These are not new allegations.
Of course, they did what they could do to undermine Bernie Sanders' candidacy.
Mm. In fact, it would be the other way around. In fact, they did as much as they could do to support Hillary Clinton's candidacy. I know, splitting hairs, but I'm just giving the other side.
Well, you know, the thing that was so interesting is I kind of looked through, and I think this may have been a Washington Post article. They've written a number of things about it. And you're right. I mean, it wasn't just email about how to discredit Bernie. It was also, I love the quote, bluntly transactional at times. And, you know, they highlighted emails where there were discussions about essentially money equals access. And this woman who was a huge donor, I mean, I think she had donated $300,000 already this year, was basically saying, well, I'm not assuming I'm invited, but if I'm invited, I'd really like tickets to Joe Biden's whatever event he's hosting. And then someone else was talking about how much money they had donated and how they wanted to have President Obama at a fundraiser that they were holding in their home. So it was really a kind of a fascinating peel back of the layer that none of us usually sees behind in terms of money for access.
I gotta tell you, the only thing that really torques me about that is that I just don't have the money to do it.
Well, you know, and I think that's the truth, because what it does then is it basically keeps you and I out of politics. We don't have access. We don't have a voice. Certainly not to the degree that someone who can donate $300,000 to the DNC has a voice.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other thing I thought as I was reading the articles is that it doesn't... I'm sorry. That's my total asshole dog, as opposed to just one of the asshole dogs. I'm going to let him bark it out.
And now your moment is in.
If I fall out of my chair, it's because I'm laughing too hard.
All right.
So what I was going to say, and we're not going to edit that either, man, because it is what it is tonight. The thing that I walked away with was, this is not uniquely a Democratic phenomenon. I'm sure if somebody peeled back the curtain that covers the RNC, we would see emails that were attempting to discredit Jeb Bush. And we would see all of these notes back and forth from people who sent a huge amount of money to the RNC wanting access or this particular place to be seated on the convention floor, or you know, so it's not unique. It's the timing and the source of the leak is unusual, but
I want to know how much you have to donate to get a box seat.
Right. Well, you know, the woman who had donated $300,000 was just asking for tickets to mingle with Joe Biden, so I'm guessing she hadn't donated nearly enough.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. If anybody's come across that out there, let us know. Because, yeah, what does it cost in terms of donation to get a box suite at one of these things?
What is the price tag for the best access? Probably more than you and I will make in a lifetime.
Yes. But the thing is, of course, you know, this is just the biggest version of the game, right? But like, if you went and looked at the school board, your local school board, you would find donors there that are giving ridiculous sums of money to get access to a school board member for some reason.
Which just sounds crazy to me, but...
Right, but... You know, or you know, you're the local city council, you know, in a smaller town, or the local city council in a bigger town, you know?
Right. I think that's a really good observation, because the bottom line is everybody's looking for access of some kind. Everybody's looking for something that makes them feel important, regardless. You know,
the thing is that anybody who likes the law or sausage should never see either one of them being made. That's what this is. This is part of making the sausage, and it's not pretty.
And it's not pretty on either side of the game.
No. So, yeah, I was going to go back to the WikiLeaks stuff, and there's no reason to discount any of the emails that were put out there, but on the other hand, given the fact that this information came from Russian hackers and stuff, there's no reason to credit it either, you know? So
are we sure it came from Russian hackers? Because I'll be honest, I just started really reading some of the stuff that was being written about it tonight.
Yeah, well, and of course, who knows? But that's where it seems like it came from. I'm not in any way justifying what the DNC did, but the DNC was doing this from the beginning. And there were all kinds of problems. And here's the real problem, though. Bernie's not a Democrat, right?
He's not. I agree 100%.
And the party was under no obligation to support him just because he now registered as a Democrat to be able to seek the nomination. It's a shitty system, you know, and everybody who's a big Bernie guy, if you want to do something, get involved with what's going on at the local level. Let's start changing politics from the ground up, you know, and not worry about the presidency. We need to put Hillary in there just to protect us from Trump, get the three Supreme Court guys, you know, overturn the gerrymandering, get the House back.
Citizens United.
Yeah, we can do a lot of this stuff by putting Hillary in there. You know, is she going to be a good president? Who fucking knows? Is she the person I would choose? Fuck no. But the thing is that she is a means to an end that is worthwhile.
Well, and I think that's fair. So they've used us for so long. Let's fucking use them for a change.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And the people who say that Bernie's revolution isn't over are right. It's not over. We just have to change our tactics.
Absolutely.
So I guess I'm going to have to move somewhere where there are local politics that actually suit my... that actually kind of I might be able to do something in, because Alaska local politics I'm throwing up in my mouth right now.
Obermeyer still running for school board?
No, she's actually disappeared. Thank you, God.
Okay.
For those who don't live in Alaska who might actually hear this, frightening loudmouth with a husband who could never pass the bar.
Yeah, because in the time I lived there, he'd failed the bar 17 times.
Yeah. I want to say that I don't know that the number ever got much higher than that, but, you know, you can only take so much failure before you give up.
time to think that maybe, you know, your career choice needs to change.
So WikiLeaks. Yeah, you know, I do think the other thing that is very interesting is the timing.
Hmm. It's straight up Putin. Putin had his guys do this to, you know, to help his good friend out.
Well, you know, and now there are all these people freaking out about, this means that the Russians have undue influence in American politics and da-da-da-da-da.
Only if we vote for Donald Trump.
Right.
If you're worried, yeah, I mean, you know, if that's your thing, Russian influence in American politics, and maybe it should be, don't vote for Trump.
Then you have to vote for Hillary Benghazi, crazy baby killer. Yeah, right. I don't believe that. I'm just saying that because of that crazy woman on Facebook earlier.
You know, I mean, it's really interesting. I'm reading Black Swan and Fooled by Randomness.
Oh, interesting.
And there's a lot of things to say about it, but I'll just take one really important point, which is that, of course, looking backwards, history is obvious. You know, and so, yes, of course, looking backwards, she should have made a different call in Benghazi. Sure. Of course, looking backwards, maybe she shouldn't have done the email thing. Sure. You know, but maybe looking backwards, maybe Wasserman wouldn't use the email to to beat down Bernie, right? Yeah, but whatever Hillary Clinton's shortcomings are, those aren't it.
Well, and I just
she's got a lot of shortcomings, but those are not the ones that matter.
And I have to say that my heart is not broken for Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Oh, fuck no.
Tim Canova for U.S. Senate. Actually, I don't know if she's a senator or a congressperson. I'll be honest about that. But Tim Canova is running against her down in Florida. And boy, if you've got a little extra change to throw somebody's way, might be a good investment.
Democrat running against her? Or
yep.
Is that?
Yep, he's okay. A Dem running against her.
There's a good chance she'll lose her job.
I don't think that's inappropriate.
No, but, you know, it's fucking Florida. I mean, this stuff always comes out of Florida, doesn't it?
Well, or Texas.
Yeah, mostly Florida.
So I'm going to name drop a book, too, because it looks like it just got delivered to my Kindle. And it's a book that I think is really important for people who are following the struggle of Black Lives Matter, following all of the different police shootings that have happened. And I'm pretty excited about this book. So it is written by, let me click on it. Oh, of course, I'm not going to be able to enlarge it. Okay, so it's a book called Nobody, and the subtitle is Casualties of America's War on the Vulnerable from Ferguson to Flint and Beyond. And it is written by Mark Lamont Hill. I actually heard about this book on Democracy Now, and it sounded great. They actually interviewed the author, so I'm very, very much looking forward to getting a chance to read this.
Given the please, because unfortunately, since it was on Democracy Now, it'd probably be you and 12 other people.
Oh, and I do want to say, by the way, since we're still kind of sort of on WikiLeaks, so they interviewed Julian Assange today, as we know, the mastermind of WikiLeaks. And he said, you know, talking about the U.S. election, you're really asking me if I want cholera or gonorrhea.
So my only question is, which one's which?
Well,
and which one can be cured?
So cholera is much more devastating. Gonorrhea can be cured with a dose of antibiotics. So I personally would opt for gonorrhea. Yeah. A.K.A. Hillary.
Hillary Clinton. Hillary gonorrhea Clinton.
Oh, my God. All right.
I hate these fuckers. So, anyway, this book, Black Lives Matter, is definitely going to want to hear your review of it once you've had a chance to read it.
I will take... I have to admit, I never read Night by Elie Wiesel, so I'm reading that right now. This book about the racial divide in America is going to be next on my hit list. Yeah. So.
I'm sticking with Fooled by Randomness.
Well, I'm going to be trying to find something happy to read too while I can take a break and come up for air from what I'm reading. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean,
you got to come up for air, man.
That's it. You got to come up for air. That's the title of the episode.
Okay, I'm good with that. So, you know, the other things that we really wanted to talk about, and I think it's important to look at it. I'm so sick of talking about Trump, and I'm so sick of talking about Hillary. So this may be a way of talking about them without talking about them. But I wanted to point out their VP choices. You know, in part because I will admit I don't know much about Tim Kaine, aside from the fact that I think he's kind of a slap in the face to progressives, and that's worrisome to me. I think we both probably know more about Mike Pence than we ever wanted to. And I would
refer...
Yeah, exactly. I would refer people back to our RIFRA episode, which I think is right around episode 6. Pretty sure.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Mike Pence. Yeah. This is his second time on This Conversation Rocks, bastard.
For anybody who missed episode 6, though, Mike Pence basically doesn't believe in evolution, hates gays and lesbians, queer, transgendered, definitely is all about so-called religious freedom, and while hasn't been pushed on it, I'm sure has a real problem with whose bathroom you're using.
He is a perfect choice for Donald Trump and the Republican Party.
Yeah, but apparently he's exceedingly polite.
Well, you know, I bet Hitler was polite. And I don't mean to pull sorry, I don't mean to pull the Hitler card. That's the first thing that came to my brain. But not in that context. So I don't know if you've ever heard anyone say it, but, you know, Hitler had a dog, too. Anyone can be exceedingly polite. Doesn't mean they're a good person. Your dog can love you. It doesn't mean you're a good person. Dogs are made to love you. That's where I was going with that. I was trying to say his politics were Hitler's politics. God, I feel like I have to backtrack majorly on that one now. No, Diane is not comparing Mike Pence to Hitler. I'm just saying that there are people who may have had a lovely cup of tea with the Fuhrer and thought what a polite boy he was. That's all I'm saying.
Exactly. No, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. God.
Oh, God. We, you know, we need to do this more so we're not so wonky when we do it.
Yeah, do we need to dump out of this episode?
Maybe not wonky. Maybe we're just a bit punchy because it's been a while.
Or maybe we're just punchy because it sucks, man. Everything. Because
you're not drinking and I just lost 10 pounds, so woo!
Good for you. Good for you.
So do you want to talk about Kaine, or do you want to talk about Pence first?
Well, I think we just covered Pence.
So I actually did go through, and I took the time to look at the On the Issues website about Mike Pence, because I thought, surely there's something redeeming. And I...
Oh, yeah.
I struggled, but I did find one thing. He actually dissented against the GOP when they all voted for the Wall Street bailout.
Wow.
That's it. That was the only thing I could find.
Okay, good. And, you know, and of course, it doesn't matter. This, I guess here's my thing with the VP and why I just, who gives a fuck?
Well, but right? I think Trump chose him because, you know, well, first of all, because his kids pressured him into it. That's sure what it sounds like. But I think
because it was pretty clear. It was pretty clear that it was getting out of the Trump camp just prior to the convention starting that he was trying to figure out a way to have a do-over on that.
Right, and there was actually some stuff, and this was not just gossip. It was actually talked about on Democracy Now!, which I think is a pretty credible source of the news.
Oh, I love those guys.
Yeah, I do too. And there was some evidence that came out that Donald Trump Jr. actually called Kasich. Kasich, who didn't bother to show up at the Republican National Convention held in his own state because he's so disgusted by the whole thing. They actually called Kasich and said, want to be the most powerful man and the most powerful vice president ever? And they basically told him that he could be in charge of domestic and foreign policy, and that Donald's role was just, quote, to make America great again. That was the conversation that was reported that Donald Jr. attempted to have with Kasich.
All right, I'm drinking now.
So, you know, I mean, I think that the interesting thing about that is, you're right. I mean, there's some stuff that pretty clearly points to Trump being railroaded into choosing Pence. But the other thing is, I think Pence is his attempt to try to appeal to evangelicals, to try to appeal to people who say that there's no one on the campaign that has good, well, good being a subjective term, that has good political chops. You know what I mean?
Right.
And now they're pointing to Mike Pence and they're saying, well, he's been in Congress. He's now the governor of Indiana. He knows how to govern. So they're kind of pointing to him as someone who can rein Donald Trump back in.
Okay.
Never mind that Donald Trump has talked over him in every public appearance they've had.
Exactly.
Right. So much for reining the Donald in.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I do think that we've got a pretty good recap of Mike Pence's religious beliefs and his beliefs about LGBT people in our RFRA episode. But some other stuff that I looked up, and I just kind of was hitting on thing after thing. So his civil rights record, for example, he's got a 0% rating from the Human Rights Committee. He has a 7% favorable rating from the ACLU, and he's got a 22% favorable rating from the NAACP. So, you know, that doesn't look very good.
No.
He has a minus 20%. I don't know how you can get a minus 20% rating, but he has a minus 20% rating from NORML, which is the group that's fully supporting a marijuana legalization, which I thought was hilarious. I mean, when you get stoners so mad at you that they will give you a minus 20% rating,
oh,
you're a lame dude.
No doubt, man. Failure.
Right. I thought some other stuff that was important, you know, not as he only crazy about the whole idea of abortion and religious extremism, but he's voted against stem cell research. He's voted against any family planning to be taught internationally. So any U.S. funds that go internationally to help with health cannot be used for any family planning resources in his world. Which I don't know how he doesn't know this. He probably didn't take high school biology. But family planning doesn't just mean abortion.
Right.
Family planning means not getting pregnant, not getting a disease, understanding how your genitals work, you know?
Why is it? Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, you guys always go back right to abortion. It's like Planned Parenthood does so many things, and abortion is such a small percentage of it.
And he has a 0% favorable rating with Planned Parenthood.
He actually led the national call to not fund them. How does he have not have a minus 20?
Look, you can mess with babies and abortions, but you can't mess with joints.
Send your hate mail, care of Brian Williams.
Who is now actively anchoring on MSNBC again. Go, Brian! I thought another thing that was interesting, which really could put a wrinkle in abortion law, he supports granting the, quote, pre-born personhood under the 14th Amendment, which I just think is totally cracked. But, you know, think about someone like that being in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
With the potential to take over the wheel. He voted no on auto bailouts. He voted no on the stimulus packages that were ultimately voted in. And he voted yes on restricting bankruptcy rules. So, no, I'm not going to help you out. And yes, I'm going to make it harder for you to declare bankruptcy. Gosh, what else? He voted yes on funding border control. Yes on sending more funding to Mexico to fight the drug war. environmentally, no on a carbon tax, no on a tax credit for people who get renewable energy, or who use renewable energy. Yes for drilling on the outer continental shelf. Yes for more nuclear power plants, and yes to opening ANWR, which is a big issue for those of you who don't live in Alaska. We don't want to see what little pristine Arctic wilderness we have left opened up to drilling, opened up to companies like BP.
Because nobody knows how much oil is under ANWR.
Right. And it actually, the estimates that have been made are basically, gosh, there's enough oil under ANWR to support our current consumption for 2 or 3 days.
But clearly somebody believes there's more than that.
Right. So, I mean, there's a whole litany of things that are wrong with Mike Pence. I'm sure that if I had gone to, say Fox News and one of their websites, I probably would have found a really different story, but I'm feeling pretty good tonight, and I couldn't make myself sick like that.
No. Yeah, so, anyway, Mike Pence is just... Fuck that guy.
Hey, so while we're kind of freewheeling on the idea of the Republican Party, I do have to give Ted Cruz a little bit of credit.
For standing up?
For giving Donald Trump the middle finger in the middle of the convention.
Yeah, well, you know, who else, though, is going to take a dump in the punch bowl?
Well, you know, he is known for that. That's why he's the most hated person in the U.S. Senate. But you know, there are so many Republicans who have said, I couldn't possibly vote for Trump. That speech was the textbook version of racism. Or, you know, I couldn't possibly support someone who insulted my family in that way. Or, you know, there are so many Republicans who have said things like that who have now fallen into line.
Right.
Reince Priebus, Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell. I mean, the numbers are staggering. The people who have called him out for being racist, hateful, xenophobic, who are now voting for him.
Right.
So, you know, I have to give some props to Ted Cruz. And once again, putting a plug in for another podcast, Glenn Thrush interviewed Ted Cruz right before the Republican National Convention.
The thing with Ted is that he wants to be president, and he believes that by doing this, he's positioning himself to make the run next time.
Oh yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think that he really sincerely believes that by shitting on stage in front of everyone, he's going to somehow position himself to rebuild the party if they have a staggering loss in this election. But it's really backfired. He's gotten a horrible amount of pushback.
Doesn't mean that he won't ultimately be right, though.
Well, you and I know that he is, but at least on that one issue.
Ah, fun times.
You know, it was pretty dark, and I do find it very interesting looking at all of the various pundits who are talking about it when they say that this is really truly one of the darkest things that they have seen in a really long time come out of a national convention. I think it was Samantha Bee who said, the U.S. is the shining city on the hill from which we will make our last stand against the zombie apocalypse. It was perfect. It was classic. So, I don't know that I have a lot more to say about the RNC, except that Glenn Thrush also interviewed Chuck D, who was there with Tom Morello and Prophets of Rage, which was really cool. It was a really great interview. So, once again, guys, if you're listening to us, please take a minute and listen to Off Message as well, because there are some great interviews. And don't you think Glenn Thrush owes us a plug?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, so does John Oliver.
Right. So, you know, then we've got the opposite side. So on Friday night, at the time of what Rachel Maddow calls the news dump, where people usually hide news they don't really want people to look at until the next day.
Right.
Friday fucking night, Clinton decides to announce that she's picked Tim Kaine as her running mate. So why do you think she buried it?
Well, I mean, first of all,
you can't bury something that big, but why do you think there wasn't more fanfare?
Well, I think because what she was trying to do was seize the cycle, because the WikiLeaks stuff was starting to get out there.
Okay.
You know,
I think that's fair.
I don't understand, honestly. On all sides, they think they got good campaign people working for them, and I'm kind of questioning that, because, like, you guys are just all over the place between screwing up your logos.
That was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, but, you know, Hillary's with that H with the stupid arrow.
Right.
Did you see the Rosa Parks one, where basically Rosa Parks is at the back of the bus?
No.
Yeah. Because the arrow is pointing to the right, and they got Rosa Parks sitting on the left. Jesus. Which, when you look at it visually, that would be the back of the fucking bus.
Great.
You know, so, I don't know. It's just, you know, time and time again.
You know, I mean, I don't want to get into the whole Melania Trump thing, right? Because I feel a certain amount of pity for her. I feel like she's way out of her league, and I feel like the whole plagiarism thing is more of a reflection of the people around her than her. But,
well, she didn't write the speech. Let's
right. And the reason that I'm bringing it up is exactly that. It's more reflections of the amateurs who are getting an opportunity in these campaigns to screw up big moments like that.
Well, I think because over in Trump's, like, no professional is actually working for Trump.
Well, Paul Manafort, but he's got a mixed reputation at best.
Yeah.
And that was before his involvement with Trump.
Yeah, so...
But it sounds like, I mean, it seems like even the amateur hour is alive and well at the DNC, so...
Oh, right, because, you know...
Yeah, my Shiba Inu is protesting again. We're just gonna plow through, man, we're gonna plow through!
I don't blame her, though, you know? It's all pretty bad.
You know, it's kind of a general commentary on the state of the nation. And the fact that I'm alone because my husband is working nights tonight.
Yep.
So, you know, I think the big thing about Tim Kaine is the question has largely been, who the hell is Tim Kaine?
Safe choice.
Yeah, I mean, but a lot of people are like, okay, so Tim Kaine, who's the dude? And I think you're absolutely right. The bottom line is that he's a safe choice. I was talking back and forth with a friend about him, and she said, you know, here's the thing. He could potentially get the Republican vote. All of those disaffected Republicans who don't know what to do with themselves now that they have the Trump-Pence ticket.
Right.
He also is a Democratic governor who would be... Or actually, he's not the governor anymore. He is from he's a senator from a state that's got a Democratic governor. So he's going to be replaced by a Dem.
Which is good.
And, you know, her point to me was, if for some reason she were to pick Elizabeth Warren, or if she were to pick Cory Booker, their replacements would be appointed by a Republican and would most likely be Republican senators in a place where we're trying to win back the majority. So, you know, I think she's right. I think so, there is a certain amount of pragmatism in the choice.
And it avoids the conversation where they have to admit that Warren and Booker both turned her down.
You think they did?
Would you take the fucking job?
I don't know.
If you're Booker or Warren and you have a political future, you know, and it is absolutely demonstrable that you can't get to the presidency from the vice presidency anymore.
And I was going to say, I think that used to not be the truth, but when you followed it with anymore, I think you're right. Yeah. I don't know. I hadn't thought of it that way. I don't have a fast answer to that.
I've always figured that Warren would never take the job for that reason.
You know, I always figured that it wouldn't happen because of the visual image of two women together. And I think that's really sad. I was, you know, I really wish that culturally we could move beyond the women can't do this job. But I'm still hearing that kind of shit when people get interviewed on television. So I think there was a fair amount of, we can't pick Elizabeth Warren because she's another woman. But my other argument back to my friend with whom I've had this discussion is, you can't tell me that there were like five progressives in the whole country that she could choose from. You know, there have to have been more progressives than Warren, Sanders, and Booker. And what was the other guy's name? The Latin American guy. I'm going to blow his name. But there was a guy who was on the short list who was not well known, who was Latin American. And he was touted as being pretty progressive.
Yeah, but, you know, honestly.
Julian Castro? Does that sound right?
That might have been. I don't know. I don't know why everybody puts so much emphasis on the VP. The odds are very good that we're never going to see the VP. Right? Again, when you look at the histories and everything, and the fact that, you know, she's likely to survive actually 8 years as the president, you know.
Yeah, definitely. When you look at women's life expectancy, that's true.
Yeah, and I just don't know why everybody makes such a big deal about the VP choices anymore.
Yeah, here because, I am, forcing you to podcast about the both of them.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm taking this opportunity to express my opinion about, I'm not sure why this is important. You know, I mean, it's fun to beat up Pence and beat up Trump over it and everything, but, you know, I mean, this guy, though, he's safe, doesn't hurt her, doesn't help her, doesn't bring anything.
Well, yeah. And so the other point that was made, which I think he does potentially bring something, is that Virginia is a swing state. So he could potentially deliver Virginia to Clinton.
Yeah, but I mean, if you were, and again, you know, this all goes to the whole strategy and question a bunch of, because honestly, if you're going to do that, why didn't you go get somebody in Ohio?
Yeah.
Why didn't you get somebody who could deliver Ohio to
you?
Because if you look at the history, Ohio is important.
Right. Ohio and Florida, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, those are really the places that you want to have delivered to you. But I guess John Kasich and Marco Rubio both said no.
Oh, man.
So, you know, here's my concern about the pick of Kane. And I've got to tell you, I reposted something on my personal Facebook page, which I have not yet watched. But it is a piece that was recorded about Tim Kaine when he was up here a few years ago in Alaska. And a lot of people, a lot of my friends watched it and said, hey, this gives me a little bit of hope. Hey, you know, I'm feeling a little better about this choice. So it's definitely on my to-watch list. But my concern is that, you know, I feel like this choice does alienate the far left. I feel like the progressives really needed to have the Clinton campaign throw some kind of bone to them that says, I hear you and I want your vote. And I don't see her doing that.
They've been taking us for granted for years.
Well, you know, and it continues. I think it's disrespectful of the people.
And it's the whole problem, though. What are we going to do?
Well, right, because here we are once again forced into the, seriously, the lesser of two evils choice. And yeah, the other evil is so greatly evil that here I go and compromise myself again.
Yeah.
You know? Because really, if Donald Trump wins, I'm not going to be someone who takes the rap for that. Even in tiny Alaska with only 3 electoral votes.
And only 6 Democrats.
Right. Me, my husband, and like 4 of my friends. There were 7, but you left. Yep.
Well, no, and I'm going to, again, once again, I'm going to disavow the Democratic Party. I am not a Democrat. I just happened to have voted for the Democratic candidate for the last 20 years because it was them or Cthulhu.
Well, and you know, I actually am still registered as a Democrat because I had to change my registration in order to vote in the caucuses, participate in the caucuses. But once this election cycle is over, I'll be changing my affiliation back to undeclared.
Yeah.
And I hope to see the mass exodus from the roles of the Democrats, but
before
we suck it up and vote for Cthulhu again.
Exactly, right? We got to do this thing first, and then everything else will be okay.
Right. So, you know, I will tell you, there's some stuff from an article that thinkprogress.org published, and, you know, there are some hopeful things, positive things about Tim Kaine.
Lay them out.
Well, so he does have a lot of experience. He served as the mayor of Richmond, Virginia. He was lieutenant governor and then governor of Virginia. And now he's a senator. He was, for better or for worse, the chair of the DNC for a while. So he certainly got an in the old boys club. I don't know that that's necessarily positive, but there you go. He does support the Affordable Care Act. He's against the death penalty. He supports a pathway to citizenship as immigration reform. When he was governor, he wanted universal pre-K to be available to families. He supports addressing climate change. He was opposed to the Keystone Pipeline. He's got an F from the NRA, and he actually has 100% from Planned Parenthood, even though he is staunchly Catholic and in his own personal life, pro-life, but he is fully in support of it being a choice, a personal choice.
So, unfortunately, he's not the candidate.
Right. But, you know, the other thing that's interesting is that he's often spoken of as boring or the workhorse. So he's respected for the work that he turns out, but it doesn't sound like he's exactly the guy who lights up the room when he walks in.
Yeah, but goddammit, I'm so tired of the people lighting up the room.
Right. I mean, and you and I have talked about it. I don't want to have a beer with this dude.
No.
I want this dude to make good decisions for our country. If he's a workhorse and produces great things from that, the more power to him. But is it enough? Is it enough to sway over disaffected progressives? I'm not sure. Is fear enough to sway over disaffected progressives?
Well, I mean, let's just get down to it, right? It is really just a matter of if you hate Trump but you're still a conservative, you're going to end up voting for Trump because you don't want to give it to us. Well, if you're progressive and you hate fucking Hillary, you're still going to vote for Hillary because you don't want to give it to him.
The other thing is, though, I've seen an awful lot of noise about Gary Johnson.
Unless you're a Republican, disaffected Republican, and want to vote for Gary Johnson, I got no time for you.
Well, but
because anybody who's on the Democratic side who is going to give their vote to him, you're just basically giving Trump a vote.
You're voting for Trump. I agree. However, I would be okay with disaffected Republicans going, you know, my choices are Trump or Johnson, and I'm going to vote for Johnson. I'd be okay with him splitting that vote.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if it went that way, it would be good, but, you know.
And I also think, quite honestly, it'd be pretty cool to see a third party in the debates. If he gets 15% in national polling, he can be in the debates.
Yeah, but he's nowhere near 15%.
Yes, he is. He's at 13%.
On what poll?
I believe it was ABC or CBS, but that is one of the national polls that gets looked at.
All right. Well, there you go.
So,
that's all right. They'll just change it to 20%.
Right. Oh, that's funny. You know, a couple of concerns that I do have about him. He is still considered to be relatively hawkish. So we have one dyed-in-the-wool hawk supported by someone else who is considered hawkish.
Well, it's because Democrats can't figure out how to get elected if they're not hawks, right. Which I don't understand.
He is also known for having very strong ties to Wall Street.
Well, then, of course, he's the choice.
Right, he's the perfect choice. He also was opposed to same-sex marriage until 2013, and then, quote...
Yeah, but who in Washington was?
Right, I was going to say he, quote, evolved, like so many Democrats have.
Yeah, which is such bullshit.
Yep.
You know, you just... All of a sudden, the polls showed you that it wasn't so bad.
Points in his favor. In 2006, when he was governor of Virginia, he actually did vote to ban discrimination against people on the basis of sexual orientation, which we still have states today where it is legal to discriminate based on someone's sexual orientation. So he was ahead of the curve on that one.
Yeah, we need to fix that.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah, I mean, kind of going back to our great big glittery gay episode, there are people who can get married tomorrow and the following day show up at work and not have a job because people can still be discriminated against because of their sexual orientation.
Yeah, absolutely. you know, and we need to fix that.
Yeah.
We're not going to fix that by putting Trump in office.
No. And, you know, I had somebody say, well, for what it's worth, he did talk about LGBTQ people in his speech. And I'm like, okay, first of all, he threw the Q on as an afterthought and he has no fucking idea what that means. And secondly, you know, once again, Hitler probably had a gay friend. And no, I'm not comparing him to Hitler.
Oh, my God. Stop.
Man, now I know what to do to get you. But what I'm saying is, you know, you can give lip service to anything.
Oh, sure. And
he obviously did.
Let's face it. Most of the politicians are giving lip service.
Absolutely. We're seeing a whole shit ton of it tonight at the DNC.
Yeah, because, you know, now Hillary's all progressive and shit.
Right.
Right. You know, she's a middle of the road money Democrat.
She is a middle of the road Republican.
Right. But it's the same thing, isn't it? So I'm looking at 538, and Johnson, yeah, he's showing a little better in the polls than I thought.
Yeah.
8, 10, 7, 5, 6, 11, 6, 11, 10, and 10. Yeah, not, I mean, better. The thing with him in it, doing that well in it, Clinton is going to win 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 out of 10 times. So, yeah, hey, Johnson, stay in this
one. Yeah, no kidding. Well, he's got nothing to lose.
Guy used to be a Republican. I like him.
And he has everything to gain in terms of creating national momentum for a third party. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, I, once again, listened to a great interview on Off Message, and he was actually a pleasure to listen to, and there were a lot of things where I could very easily find myself agreeing with him. I just can't stand the fiscal policy of the libertarians, because my experience with libertarians has been, you're not one of mine, fuck you, I'm not taking care of you.
Yeah, Alaskan libertarian.
Yeah, I don't know, I haven't met any other type, so.
Right. I remember, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. So, you know, the other thing I kind of wanted to touch on while we were together tonight, and I think that we both really owe a lot more time to it, but I wanted to mention, you know, since the last time we talked, 3 people have been shot, 2 killed in very public situations by police officers. One was Alton Sterling, who was killed while he was selling CDs outside of a convenience store. And this apparently was something that he had done for many, many years to make ends meet. And he had an agreement with the owner of the convenience store that he could do that. And it is still totally unclear why the police shot him. But it certainly looks like an execution when you look at the videos.
Yeah.
Philando Castile was shot in Michigan, correct?
Yeah.
And we have the unfortunate Facebook live streaming of his death by his girlfriend. And it sounds like he was shot because he was concealed carrying and said, I am concealed carrying, I've got this. And, you know, when you listen to the voice of the officer who was involved in the shooting, he sounds like he knows he completely fucked up. You know, and now we have an image of, by all accounts, a really good human being dying in front of a 4-year-old kid and his fiance. We have a black therapist who was shot while providing care for an autistic client. And we actually have pictures of him laying on the ground with his arms up in the air, explaining his role and explaining that his client is carrying a toy fire truck and he was shot anyway. And now the Miami police are saying, well, we made a mistake. We really meant to shoot the autistic guy, which, you know, doesn't really play all that much better.
Play any better at all.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people are blaming Black Lives Matter for getting whipped up about these shootings. A lot of people are blaming Black Lives Matter for the police shootings that occurred in Dallas and Baton Rouge, both of which sound like they were directly responses, actually, to the killings of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile.
Which doesn't help.
Yeah, no, it doesn't help. But it's not like somebody from Black Lives Matter said, hey, you know, you need to go kill cops in that town.
Right.
You know, it's just all heartbreaking. I think the real hero who emerges out of this is actually the police chief in Dallas. He was so eloquent and really just emitted compassion on both sides of the argument. He's really been down both roads. He lost a family member to a police shooting, but he's also been heavily involved in Dallas in terms of getting that police department on the up and up and really doing prevention and doing de-escalation instead of having the higher rate of shootings that some police forces have. So I think he was remarkable. I want to say his name was Michael Brown. I had it written somewhere and I can't find it. But I would highly recommend that people take a look at his conduct during the Dallas shooting. He was pretty impressive. You know, as far as Black Lives Matter goes, this is going to be a big ask, but I would really point people to the last 5 or 6 minutes of Dan Savage's podcast about 2 weeks ago. He actually asked his Black listeners to call in and talk about what it was like to be a Black person in America. And it was devastating.
I was going to say that must have.
It was really devastating. And, you know, a couple of things that were said were really thought-provoking for me. One of the callers said, it's really hard to be a Black guy with white liberal friends right now because you look at your Black liberal friends, and I'm including myself in that, and say, where have you been all this time? This is the reality that we've been living in for decades. You know, and I think there's some truth there. I mean, I think that there are people who are coming to consciousness, like me, who need to understand that that has been the reality of our Black friends all along. Another thing that was said that I thought was really powerful in the call-in to Dan Savage, one of the people said, yeah, you know what, you've got white privilege. Don't deny your white privilege. Use it to help somebody. You know, use it to mentor that Black kid who's getting great grades, who needs some help figuring out how to get into college. Use it to mentor and help someone get that promotion that they deserve, which I thought was really powerful.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like we owe a lot more time and thought to the issue of being Black in America, but I kind of felt like with everything that's happened, we couldn't avoid and we couldn't put off saying anything about the events of the last couple of weeks.
No, but, you know, the world's crazy.
Well, you know, and I guess the other thing that I want to say, and I posted this on Facebook recently, there was a picture, there was a video, rather, of a woman who was trying to hold up a sign that said, no hate, end racism, at the RNC last week. And
that was
she, it, you know, and she kept getting blocked, essentially. I mean, people would place themselves physically in front of her. They would hold up signs physically in front of her. I think she
was the U.S. flag. It was the U.S. flag.
How ironic is that, huh?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so they kept blocking her sign with a large U.S. flag. And I think she was eventually kicked out of the convention.
Right.
But I watched that video and I said, I thought and I said on my Facebook page, you know, to all of my friends who even tacitly support Donald Trump, you are hurting me by dehumanizing my friends who are Black, my friends who are Latina, my friends who are anything other than a white Christian male. And that's heartbreaking. I mean, I've got some really fucking amazing friends who don't live in that reality, who don't live in the reality of white privilege, and who do live in the reality of, is this the time I'm going to get stopped and arrested because I'm driving while Black?
Right.
So, you know, I just kind of wanted to end the serious or relatively serious part of the podcast with those reflections.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're supporting Trump, even if you think all you're supporting is his economic policy, whatever that is, or his Make America Great Again, whatever that is, You're also supporting all of the ugly racism and xenophobia that goes with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No Trump.
No Trump.
No Trump.
So moving on, I have a fuck that guy that's related, not so much to Donald Trump, but more to the Republican National Convention.
Okay.
So as most people know, I am a big fan of the Young Turks. And the Young Turks were broadcasting live from the RNC last week. And out of nowhere, Alex Jones, who is such a complete and total freak, the host of InfoWars, and Roger Stone, who's been a big surrogate for Donald Trump, totally crashed the Young Turks and totally crashed their convention coverage. And they were really rude. I mean, they kept trying to shove this t-shirt at Cenk Uygur that had a picture of Bill Clinton, kind of in the style of the Barack Obama hope pictures.
Right.
But instead of hope, it said rape under Bill Clinton's name. And Cenk Uygur just became completely enraged. And it nearly turned into a fist fight getting those guys off of his set. And it was really just so crude and so offensive, and the fact that they would be that classless and crash someone else's set was really, really disgusting.
Right.
And it just made me look at the one person in my life who really listens to Alex Jones and really supports his podcast, and I thought, you know, I just can't keep that relationship open. I can't. There's nothing in that relationship that motivates me beyond every time I hear her voice, I think, you think Alex Jones is a great guy and he's right about everything. So fuck those guys. Fuck Roger Stones. Fuck Alex Jones. Listeners, if you're out there, support the Young Turks. I put information up for how to join the TYT network on our Facebook page. They're a great source of liberal news.
Excellent.
You got anything, like a fuck that guy or a Hall of Honorable mention?
Oh my god.
I know it's been so long, you're probably like, I was supposed to do that.
No, it's just, you know, Hall of Honorable mention, you know, Bernie, who's trying to get this done.
Yeah.
You know.
He was really classy tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. And to everybody who's paying for access on both sides of the aisle, thanks a fucking lot.
Yeah. Thanks for shutting all of the rest of us out of the process.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, kind of where I'm at.
Well, I have not one, but two Neil Gaiman quotes that I've been saving up for this episode.
Oh, excellent.
So, you know, I was thinking about all of the deaths that we've had happen over the last 2 weeks, the people who were killed for driving while black or selling CDs while black or providing care to special needs individuals while black, although fortunately that guy survived. And I was thinking about all the cops who've been killed. And Neil Gaiman says in Signal to Noise, the world is always ending for someone.
Yeah.
And then I also was thinking about this as I was watching the RNC coverage last week. I didn't watch the whole thing because I just couldn't stand myself, but I watched some of it. This is also from Signal to Noise, and Neil Gaiman says, I sat in the dark and thought, there's no big apocalypse, just an endless progression of little ones.
That's true. It's very true.
So on that happy note.
Yay! Episode 2016-17 is done.
So we just want to say we appreciate everybody who's listening. You know, the fact that I'm seeing names on our Facebook page that I've never seen before just tells me that there are a few people out there who are sharing us and finding us, and that just makes me really happy.
That's really exciting. Like I said at the beginning, you know, this is awesome.
Yeah. And I've said before, I would do this. I love this so much. I would do this if only one other person was listening. And I really mean that. But that doesn't mean I don't appreciate the shares. Keep doing it.
Yeah.
And I do want to put a plug in. Todd was teasing about Preacher, which is one of my new favorite TV shows. My little sister has settled in as my permanent partner for the Preacher podcast.
That is cool.
Yeah,
is,
you know, I knew it was a big ask for you and for Brian because you're both doing a lot of other stuff. And dang, my little sister is a great podcaster. She really is. She was on fire.
That is cool.
So I'm super proud of her. And if you're watching Preacher, which is a great show, you can find us at The Good News, The Gospel According to AMC's Preacher.
Formerly known as The Word.
Formerly known as The Word, which was Todd's awesome name, but it didn't stick because someone else had already taken it.
Some Christian group, I'm sure, right?
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know where Rob found the other group that had taken it, but the thing is, I looked to make sure there wasn't a preacher group that had taken it, so I'm pretty ticked that it was not available to us.
Yeah, well, you know.
But, you know, the good news, that works.
Yep. Yep. I haven't seen this week's episode yet, so.
Well, you know, I've kind of slowed down. I haven't watched any of the newer episodes because I'm trying to be authentic as I podcast. So, I figure we'll be caught up and timely by the time season 2 rolls around.
There you go.
Which is a little frustrating because I really want to watch it, but at the same time, I really do want it to evolve naturally in terms of podcasting it. So, it's been a lot of fun.
This is cool. This is always a lot of fun, so.
I agree. It really, you know, I keep telling people that working on podcasts has become the highlight of my life. I love doing it. It's so much fun.
Yeah, so we're going to try to get together later in the week and do another episode, right?
I think that sounds great. I think we can say goodnight to our faithful and wonderful listeners, and you and I can stay around and talk a little bit more about what we want to do.
Excellent.
Okay, good night, everybody.
Good night.